This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael W. Dean, Katie Green?
It's working. It's working. Katie, speak up a little bit. Who are these foreigners? These foreigners that are coming in and trying to take my job.
We're so quiet, polite.
I know. You're so polite. That's because they take away your air guns, and then you can't,
away our freedoms.
I know, man. Yeah. It all starts with your air guns. So what's going on there in Scotland tonight?
I think first we should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
That's true.
I'm getting good at this.
There's another podcast that's covered by that now. What podcast is it and where can people find it?
It's the Greening Out podcast. It's the one Katie and I do. You can find that at greeningout.co.uk.
Greeningoutpodcast.co.uk.
Greeningoutpodcast.co.uk. It's 5 in the morning, man. Give me a break, dude.
I forgive you. It's 5 in the morning.
Okay. It's not 5. It's 11:07 here in Wyoming. So they're going to take your air guns there in Scotland. Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, they introduced a bill, and it's getting support now in the Scottish Parliament. Now they want to license the air guns, so literally like air guns now, because you can—they're the only kind of thing
they're
close to a gun you can freely buy.
Gun you can buy here readily, sort of on the street. Well, not on the street, like in,
on the high street. On the high street.
Yes, that's our lingo. So on the high street, there's like a few. Yeah, and there are a few places you can go and buy them right now. And Dad and I were talking about this last night when I got in from work. He told me about this, and I was like, no way. And I looked it up, and sure thing. So it's up on our website and stuff, and it's just insane.
They would try and license knives if you didn't need
them
for cooking.
They're going to try and license like everything you have, everything you own, man.
I have a funny story about air guns. I was...
Oh, okay.
When I first started dating my wife, before she was my wife, and I went to meet her parents, and this was before I had guns and my wife had guns, and I was still kind of afraid of guns then. And we went to meet her, and we went to meet her parents, and went and sat on their back porch at night, and I was sipping lemonade, they were having a beer, and he had a gun sitting on the table there on the back porch, and I was like, oh, is this what he does to intimidate the new boyfriend or something? Like, you know. But it turned out it was an air gun that he had for shooting varmints, because it was, I guess where they lived, they had varmints of some sort, and he used it to either drive them away or kill them. I don't know how powerful the thing was, but yeah, now I'm kind of like, air guns? That's for children, man. You can buy those at Walmart. Although you can also buy like high-powered sniper rifles at Walmart. Although they call them hunting rifles, but you know, bolt action scope 308 deer rifle is basically, you know, governments are really afraid of handguns. They should probably be more fun, more scared. Like they're really scared of like high capacity magazine assault handguns and things. They should be more afraid of like 4-shot bolt action scoped deer rifles, because those are the things that people can shoot someone with at 300 yards and probably get away with it.
Yeah. Those are the things that, you know, the old cliche of the guy up in the bell tower, you know?
Yeah. And those are the things that they can probably never outlaw in America, because there are so many hunters in America.
Well, we actually have that here too. I mean, you can own a gun in certain parts of Scotland, but it's so many legal
hoops you need to jump through to gain a license.
And then you can only—I don't believe you're allowed to own it at your house. I will need to look that up. I think you have to keep it at some kind of gun club.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've wanted to do. Dan and I have talked about it. I want to go clay pigeon shooting. I want to try it. I want to do it.
Well, that's
something
shotguns,
that's like on
rifles.
My list. Oh, is it?
Yes. Although I've gone shooting with a guy who shoots clay pigeons with a .22 rifle, which is kind of dangerous, but it's also really hard.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Yeah. I imagine. I don't think I'm going to be able to actually do this. I want to make this perfectly clear. I don't think I'm going to be able to shoot anything, but I'd like to give it a go.
See, based on the time that I had a PlayStation 1 and I played the game Time Crisis with the added gun that came with it,
that's,
you know.
That's your gun experience.
See, based
Dan.
On that, I don't think I should be allowed
to have
a gun.
I like to play those zombie games at the arcade. You know the one by the key? Yeah.
Hey, what's the... I'm not a gamer. You guys do some gaming. What's the name for the type of game where basically all you do is kill massive amounts of easy-to-kill prey?
I don't know if there's a name for that. I'm not actually a huge gamer.
I can't remember the name for it, though. I'm sure Nathan the Ninja Squirrel will email me and tell me, but I was thinking about that.
Dan, yeah.
The show Walking Dead is basically one of those games. Mm. It's basically gotten to the point where all they do is kill waves of slow-moving, easy-to-kill, you know, things.
Yeah, this is I've had a kind of a beef with The Walking Dead, and I'm not going to rain on it because I think it's a good show, and especially when it came out. Dan will tell you, I was one of the first people to be like, oh my gosh, this is happening. But I have an issue, though, with the zombies, that they are far too easy to kill. I know that's an odd thing to be annoyed about, but for me, I like the 28 Days Later kind of British infection.
Aye, because the zombies actually start running at
people.
That's what made it scarier, because, if a bunch of zombies are, you know, tottering behind you,
you're like, okay, go away.
Yeah, but when they start sprinting behind you, you're worried then. That really scares me.
Zombieland was a good film example of that. Fatties first to go. I would be in that wave. I could not outrun a modern day running zombie.
As long as I can outrun you, Katie, as long as I can outrun you.
Yeah, you don't have to outrun the zombie, Dan. You just have to outrun me. And Barney can outrun both of us.
Is that your dog?
So, Barney. Yeah, that's Barney, our new dog. He's lying here by our feet in our studio. Aww. It's actually quite nice. I know. It's sweet, actually. I like it. I feel all warm.
So tell me more about the gun ban that's being discussed.
Well, it looks like it's pretty much going to go through the parliament. But the weird thing about the article actually was that there was something about strippers in the article as well.
I saw that.
They like to throw in little nuggets of legislation in there,
and then see how manipulative it was, because it was this is because some child was shot with an air rifle once, you know, and then they use that as the pretext to, so that's why we must ban them. You know, that was an isolated incident. That doesn't happen all the time.
There was actually a case a few months ago. Dan, do you remember this? It was a young boy in England, and he went around town with a giant air rifle, but nobody knew it was an air rifle. People thought it was a real gun, and the police were called, and they went out to it. And I think it was just a young boy who was a little bit upset about something, or he was confused. I think he's got some mental health issues, but he didn't kill it. He didn't hurt anyone. But they were acting in the paper, oh my gosh, this is, look what happens to your children when they're allowed access to this. I need to find it.
They made a big deal out of it. Yeah. Look at this, a boy could walk down the street carrying an air rifle.
And I was like,
you know,
so?
All hell has broken loose. Uh-huh. You know?
It was
nothing
like
secret.
Yeah, the end is nigh. The guy with the sandwich board, you know.
Do you have those guys there?
Yeah.
Do you have the crazy people on the street saying the end is nigh?
Not.
You have.
Katie saw a guy in New York like that, didn't you?
I did, outside Zabar's Deli. A guy, and he was just yelling, the end is coming. And me and my friend were like, oh, that's so cute. It's like in the movies. And everybody else is like, move away from him.
In San Francisco, there used to be some really dedicated people who would do that for years on end. And I guess the political climate at the time was such that the city would tolerate it. They probably would not now. But I remember this one guy that used to hang out in front of the office of a TV station there with this sandwich board, playing guitar, playing bad renditions of John Lennon songs. And, oh, I heard that. You could try the cough
button. The cough button. Yeah. I'm really, really sorry.
It's okay. It's a teaching hospital. So this guy was...
We're learning.
This guy had this whole conspiracy theory about, that John Lennon was murdered by the same people who killed JFK and Martin Luther King. And he had like four sandwich boards with tiny text on them. And he handed out little handbills that had all the text on them. And he basically was like, he would camp out in front of this TV station because he was convinced that if he did it long enough, they'd put him on TV and he could tell the world. But it never happened.
Didn't quite work out that way. Is there not a guy like that in that movie, The Conspiracy? There's a guy like that, and then he mysteriously goes missing.
Yeah.
Well, there's. Have you ever seen? You ever seen that movie? It's A Scanner Darkly.
I have not. No, actually,
it's great. It's an interesting movie because it's a sci-fi movie book from the 70s, and it was made into a movie, and it was done with rotoscoping, which is where there's live action actors, but then it's animated on top of them, so it looks like a cartoon, but the movements are really realistic because they're really, it's the movements of the actors, and Robert Downey Jr. is one of them. I remember that. And our network mate Alex Jones has a cameo in the movie where he's he's on a street corner with a bullhorn at night in front of like a 7-Eleven or, you know, mini mart or something, yelling through a bullhorn about how the end is coming and the corporations and the government are all in cahoots and they're gonna silence people who have contrary opinions. And all of a sudden, and there's like five people watching him kind of confused, just like eating ice cream cones, like, who is this nut? And then this black van pulls up and they pull him into the van and drive off with him. And as he's pulling him into the van, he's saying something like, I used to work for you guys. I know what you guys are like. I saw the truth. You cannot silence us. It's beautiful. It's funny, man.
I think
The only reason I haven't watched it is because I've got the book and I keep meaning to read the book first. You know, I don't really want to watch the movie.
You've been saying that though.
I found
for
it
like
in a charity shop.
Years.
Yeah, I just found
so
the book
can
in
we
a
just
charity
watch
shop.
The movie, please?
So. Yeah. I'm going to read it.
The jig is up, Dan.
I'm going to dedicate myself to reading that book.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to dedicate my life to that now.
I'll put it on that to-do list. No, it looks pretty awesome. I remember when it came out, I was interested because it was like you say, Michael, that kind of thing. It's kind of comic booky. That's the kind of thing I got. I got from the stills I've seen. But it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
I kind of forget how we got onto A Scanner Darkly.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
But that's okay. I don't know either.
And speaking of science fiction, we are about to go to a break here. Speaking of science fiction, we are trying something that has never been tried before tonight. We'll explain it as the show goes on, but we're building the roads here.
Yep.
All right. And Freedom Fiends, we're out.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
I think something misfired. This is the Freedom Fiends. Now we can hear our music. Even though I swear it misfired. Yes. I swear that was 30 seconds early. But hey, you know, maybe my atomic clock is off. Maybe the government is like changing it just so it's off at my house, because it is a government controlled radio frequency. Do you think that's possible?
Ooh.
I think they're messing with me.
Anything is possible, Michael. Anything.
I think they're messing with me. Yeah. So we are doing something unique on the Freedom Fiends here. And I just want to say, due to a technical error on my end, during the first two segments, we couldn't hear the music coming in. I was looking at an atomic clock, timing it and going, yep, yep, I think we're on. Okay. But we can hear it now. We're trying something unique and different here. It's almost science fiction, but it's science fact. And
Indeed.
When it works flawlessly for a couple more segments, we'll tell the really cool thing that we're doing that has never been done before tonight. So you guys want to talk about American TV? I don't care. I'm sick and I'm trying to conserve my voice. I've been sick for like 4 months, man, with three different things. I had like lung infection, then I had got rid of that. Then I had a cold, then I got rid of that. And then I had strep throat, which I have now and I'm taking Augmentin for. I'm getting over it, but it's still hellish. And I'm quitting vaping. Because I've been in denial about vaping. It's not safe. Mm. It's safer than cigarettes. And, you know, I'm not saying there should be regulation. I think that heroin should be freely available in vending machines along with air guns. Isn't air gun is a last name in the Middle East. Wasn't the guy who started Atlantic Records, wasn't he a Saudi Arabia or Middle Eastern guy named Emmett Ertgun? Yeah, Ertgun.
I have no idea.
Yeah, look it up.
That
look
would be cool, though, if it was.
Like, Google it, people. I have the documents. Okay, so
Google.
You want to talk about American TV? I'm fine with that because I'm trying to conserve my voice because I have more shows to do this week. But go ahead, man. What do you want? What are you watching?
Katie and I, like, it's so funny because Katie was saying, like, we used to watch Third Rock from the Sun.
Wow.
And we used to watch it all the time. And then, like, Katie was saying we should get the DVDs, and she was actually looking up, like, the box sets and things like that.
I was pricing them on Amazon, and I was like, okay, so we could spend so much. And then one night, one magical evening.
We discovered BitTorrent.
We actually discovered Netflix.
We didn't discover Netflix. No, we discovered that they'd put it on Netflix. Yes.
They have added it to it. So it's been a pretty amazing couple of weeks. I think it was about 2 weeks ago we discovered it. And it's been like every night we'll watch a few episodes. And it's really fun because Third Rock from the Sun, for anybody who's not familiar, first of all, why are you not familiar? second of all, like you should be because first of all, John Lithgow. Third of all, John Lithgow is just so funny. French Stewart, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and
Explain what it's about.
Oh, yeah, don't bury the lead. There may be Americans who are too young.
People who don't
to know.
Yeah,
the glory of the 90s and 80s TV show Third Rock from the Sun.
I'm still trying to like remember that like people are actually listening to me. This is just like a conversation.
There's only
so
one person listening.
Everybody knows.
There's this guy named Nathan the Ninja Squirrel. He's our only listener. He's actually
He's the guy that
figured out since we don't take phone calls, he can email us during the show, so he does sometimes.
Oh.
But we had him on the other day for like two segments. It was the first attempt at having a caller via Fiend Phone. And it went well. But then I realized like, okay, if he's calling in, there's nobody listening to us. So
he's our one fan.
He's our one fan. We have more than one fan. But we always know. We know he's listening because he sends
emails. Definitely.
Yep.
Oh, that's really nice. I like
that. So he may not know the show. So explain it. Say Nathan.
Okay.
Here's what the show's
okay,
about.
Okay. So Nathan, I'm going to give you a little synopsis. Okay. So we have four aliens that have arrived on this planet, and their mission is to observe human life and find out what it's all about. So you have Dick Solomon, who's played by John Lithgow, and you have Harry Solomon, who's supposed to be his brother, played by the hilarious French Stewart.
I love that guy.
Oh, he's a Canadian actor, I believe, and he's really really funny. And you have Tommy Solomon.
He's goofy.
Oh yeah, he's a great character actor. Like we were talking about, there's a certain type of acting ability, and he just has this hilarious way about him that he's totally theatrically trained, you can tell, and it's so funny.
Tommy Solomon
because his role is
the teenage boy, he's the youngest one, and he's actually like the voice of reason on the show in the family.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be the oldest guy.
In alien terms, he's supposed to be the oldest one, but on Earth, he's like the youngest.
Yeah. And then you have Sally Solomon, who's played by I believe it's Kristen.
She's hot. I
don't know.
I would wreck that girl.
Oh, Sally?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But in a weird way.
I had a crush on her when that show was on live. I was like, what, 20 or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, Dan, you were quite a young teenage boy, so I think you can relate.
There's actually an episode where she's gone out with a guy, and the guy's gay, and he thinks that she's a man dressed up as a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is quite a...
Yeah.
Her character is a butch sort of character, but she is funny because... one of the things I love, and now that you're familiar with all the characters, Nathan, I will continue. one of the things I love about that show is it takes things from a place of, I know nothing, I'm an alien, explain to me human life, what is this, what air is yours, what air is mine. It's quite philosophical and deep, but at the same time, utterly hilarious. And Dan and I were really talking about how deep it is.
No, there was one we watched recently where they decide that they're going to embrace conformity. That's the way to go.
So funny.
They try and do everything completely average.
They go to the average household is this, so they do that.
But then they join the place they live, they've got a co-op board and Saturday goes on it, and then they start regulating everyone's behavior and things.
Yeah.
So then it becomes like its own mini state in the co-op board.
One of the main themes in that show is embrace your weirdness. Like just embrace it. It's the best advice I think I've sort of ever taken from anyone ever, was just, it's okay, you're weird, it's fine, embrace it. And Dan taught me that. He's a weirdo, but I love him for it. And, you know, I don't know, that's sort of a thing I've taken. But this show, and I know like there's people probably going, you're reading far too much into this, it's just a funny show. But there's a lot to it, especially about gender roles and stuff, and like Sally
being a woman. Yeah, because they keep saying like, Sally, you should do this, and she's like, why? Because you're the woman.
Why? And she goes, well, I didn't choose this. This just happened to me. Like, why should I have to do all these things that a woman's expected to do? And she makes comments about wanting to have a 9-pound screaming, what was it she called it? A screaming sort of
blob of protoplasm.
What's the name?
Blob of
a grub
protoplasm.
A
grub.
Yeah, or something like that. Like I want to grow. I don't have this urge to grow it inside of me or anything, and you'll give birth to it. So it's interesting because it does talk about some things that are sort of human nature. And she goes, "I'm leaking. I don't understand this."
Oh, when they
and
cry,
it's sort of like they're and it's like they're giant babies, and you're trying to explain the world to them, but how do you explain what is this place? Like, it's so complex. It's too deep. It's too early in the morning for this, Dan, for me. I've not even had a cup of coffee yet.
You're absolutely right, because it's weird, because the whole thing is meant to be that, like, even like when they get into race, he doesn't understand that there's a difference between, like, that he doesn't understand any of the baggage that comes with it or anything like that. It's
he doesn't understand all the
ignorant.
The thing things he's not allowed to say, or it's not PC. And the thing about Dick is Dick Solomon is he's so un-PC, but he doesn't get it.
Do you know what the other funny thing is? He's about to be a physics professor, and he's supposed to have this like extreme superior knowledge of physics, like more so than anyone on earth. But he teaches at this like crappy little college somewhere. It's just genius. He turns everything that happens to him into an equation.
Yeah, he does. And like every episode, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently who I reminded about the show, and he went, oh no, I didn't really get it when I was young. And I was like, dude, please, you and your partner, please just watch this. And he did. And he was like, I forgot. It's really, 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 really good. And he said, it's observational humor at its best. So that's a quote from my friend. And I think it's like situation comedy, like that, and kind of Frasier, that sort of over dramatic situation comedy.
I noticed the similarity between the way John Lithgow plays Dick Sullivan and the way Kelsey Grammer plays Fraser Crane. Like, they're two guys that are like completely over dramatic. When anything happens, they kind of go, oh, and everything's way out of proportion. And they sort of play
thespians.
They're quite similar in that way, the way they play those two characters.
But that's great. So we've been watching, like, so I said, Third Rock from the Sun. It's a really good show for looking at things like, I love looking at things from the point of view of, okay, I know nothing. And again, Dan taught me that.
She really does know nothing.
I know absolutely nothing. No, I try and approach every situation from the stance of, I know nothing about this, tell me. Not like an immediate bias.
Well, that's what Socrates did, didn't
he? The Socratic thing. Yeah, well.
That's how he approached
everything. We've talked about this.
Yeah. He also slept with little boys, though. So
that was common in Greece at
that
time.
It doesn't make
what
he said not true, but
it was the style of the day, right? Yeah,
it was actually what an older man would be would actually be encouraged to court a younger boy and to impress them and things like that, and then have a relationship with them. That was normal.
So the Greeks, invented democracy, and they slept with little boys. So I think that's a good reason to throw the idea of 51% ruling 49% out the window right there.
And it wasn't even democracy as we'd know it, because they had slaves and things, and only certain people could vote.
Oh, yeah. America never did that. It wasn't actual democracy. American democracy never had slaves.
Never, never, ever.
Actually, British democracy was like that, wasn't it, up until about the 20th century, not all classes could vote.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, we have a general election.
They've said that democracy, all democracy fail between 200 and 300 years because people realize that they can vote instead of work for a living. And that's why democracies collapse. It's true, man.
Well, we actually have a general election coming up.
And, okay,
Tell me about it.
I know. Well, actually, I'm a little bit disturbed by it because there's a certain party in there that Dan's actually cringing because.
What are they?
We can't really talk about it.
We're just going to have to do it, right? The Green Party are they're crazy, man.
The Green Party.
No one has read a book.
They're called the Green Party.
Is that your party? Did you start that?
They're just...
You're the Greens.
Oh, no.
No. They're like environmentalists, socialists, basically.
They don't understand economics.
They have those here. Yeah. They have a Green Party here.
Yeah. They actually want a zero growth economy.
Whatever that means.
And I kid you not.
That sounds like...
They haven't said that.
That sounds like it would have you living in... I hear the music. That sounds like you'd end up living in ditches, pushing berries up your nose within two generations. But we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends with the government.
That's the hope.
The government changing our timing here. All right. Worms.
Ooh.
Ooh. Government.
Wormage. Wormage.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
That's good cake, right?
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Oh, yeah.
We're back early again.
Ooh.
The world just can't get enough of us.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Meow. Talking to Dan Green and Katie Green. And they're going to talk about the Green Party, which is so bad they want to change their name and violate the non-aggression principle.
It makes me want to change my name and violate NAP because I can't even...
Davi Barker and I have started issuing libertarian indulgences, which allow you to violate the NAP once for a good purpose.
See, I just been freedom completely. And for me, freedom means that if someone insults me or mine, I can...
punch them?
I would say so. I have no...
Are
I
you
know
kidding
that
or
makes
do you
me
believe
be
that?
A,
really? Do you really believe that?
No, I really believe that if somebody crosses a line, absolutely.
You give them a short, sharp shock. And then it ends it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So tell me about the Green Party. How do they want to initiate aggression and send us all back to the Stone Age? And what's their reason for that?
Oh, man. Well, actually, they originally had this idea for a citizen's income. So they were just going to give everyone, regardless of means, £72. Was it not £72 a week or something?
A week.
Just everyone for no reason.
Just because.
And then, funnily enough, when their manifesto came up just now, they had to drop it because guess what? You can't give everyone 72
pounds
a week. It turned out that it was going to work out so many times the defense budget just to give everyone 72 quid for doing nothing.
10 times the defense budget. And also 72 quid, by the way, is about 100 American dollars.
Where's the money if nobody's working?
Thin air, Michael. Thin air.
I know. Well, it seems that way. They want to wanted to increase the aid budget to £16 billion. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is foreign aid, and they want to send hospital ships to foreign countries and things like that. And where is that again? Where is all this money coming from? It's, but that's never
they also
explained.
Want to renationalize all the railways, all the buses.
I don't know if they go as far as the buses, but definitely the railway.
It was definitely the railways.
Definitely the trains.
They want to renationalize.
See, the best thing about them is like they do hit pieces on sort of more conservative parties like the UKIP party here. But,
which is the United Kingdom Independence Party.
Yeah, but the Green Party, they do their own hit pieces because they've got this leader and she's this Australian lady, but she's the leader of the English Green Party.
She's the best thing that ever happened to people who hate the Green Party.
Oh, she's terrible because like she was talking about all these homes she was going to build and she's like, we're going to build, this was live on a radio station and she said, we're going to build like a quarter of a million homes for like £2 billion and the host went, £2 billion?
He actually did the math.
Yeah, he went, what are you going to make them out of? Plywood?
$4.
Do you know how much the land?
It was actually it was sixty thousand pounds. So £60,000. Which, by the way,
where did you get 60 from? That was she was going to build a half a million homes.
Yeah, Dan. But that was the whole point of the show was the guy went. It would be 60 grand a home. What are you going to build them out of? Plywood? Remember?
He asked her, he said, how much is the land going to cost? And she went, well, we've costed. And he was like, no, how much does the land cost? Do you even know that? And she went, well, I started to. And then she started coughing. Yeah. She just started coughing and then she went, I have a really bad cough. And she's done that before.
She's a liar.
She can't get through an interview. She keeps saying, yeah, we've got a manifesto and it's a fully costed plan, but she doesn't seem to have actually seen it. And you'd think if she leads the party, she would have had to have at least taken a look at the plan.
It's like when you watch the TV show Dragon's Den and they don't have the numbers in front of them. I don't know if you have that TV show, but it's like with being, it's when people come and give ideas.
Like you pitch business ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of investors
and
you pitch ideas.
I know what it is because I've seen it parodied on the It Crowd or the IT Crowd. You ever see that show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know the one you're talking about as well. It's the brand. It goes on fire. And then they're all standing there and he just goes, we'll need £50,000.
He's funny. I like him. But yeah, it's kind of like
that's
when...
That's a scary show.
The Irish guy in there kind of reminds me of Dan, somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
Chris O'Dowd? I can see it.
I don't know.
Really?
You're always wearing weird t-shirts and stuff and your hair's kind of floppy. I see it.
If I was more of a tech guy... I would probably
if
be
you were
him.
A tech dude, you would be him, but you're not. So
that's
you're
probably
not.
True.
So there you go.
Now, the IT Crowd was a great show.
Oh, IT Crowd, for anybody that's not familiar, get familiar. I know I keep telling people what to do. You don't have to do anything. But like if I would say like Third Rock from the Sun, the IT Crowd, I hear music. And it's wonderful. It's coming through in my ears.
Is it coming through your ears? Is it nice to be doing this with music again?
It's nice to be doing this with music behind me.
Yeah, it is. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. For a lot more worms. Scottish worms.
Worms.
Worms. All right. Thank you for your wormness. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market. Worms.
Woo-hoo. Worms.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPar 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
And can I also just take a second to say that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So we are back.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I've been kidnapped and tied up here in the studio by foreigners.
Yes.
And they've taken it over and they're trying to take our jobs.
We have
Dan Green and Katie Green from the Greening Out Podcast at, what's the URL? Greeningoutpodcast.com?
.co.com or .co.uk, whatever takes your fancy.
You really should give out the .com one in America. It's going to...
Yeah,
it's
I more guess, hoops. Actually.
It's
It'll
more
just
hoops
confuse
for the American
people.
Mind. And it's, you know, and really, it's not that Americans are stupid. It's that it's really stupid that the UK has this weird extension of .co.uk that's more complicated than every other one in the world. So... Yeah, man, it's
there's so many of them.
Greening Out Podcast.
London.com. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Dan.
Speak up, Dan. Talk like you're on radio, son.
I will. I'll give it a try. We were going to talk about World Happiness Day, weren't we? Apparently, it was on the 20th of March there.
I was not aware.
I was not aware till afterwards.
I have a special announcement to make. I was actually going to say, now that it's sort of working and we got some of the bugs worked out, I'll say what we're doing that's different. We're not using a Comrex. We're all connecting directly to our network with Fiend Phone. It's an experiment to replace the need for everyone to buy a Comrex to do radio. And it's working pretty well. We had some technical problems that were out of our hands with automation. But other than that, and a few dropouts and me being sick and barely able to talk, I think we're doing pretty well for a Watson, come here, I need you first test. So go ahead, y'all. I'll just listen.
No, yeah. So apparently the UN declared it was World Happiness Day.
Yeah, they just decided to make up a holiday or something. I don't really know the history of it, but...
Then that led to me and you having a discussion about happiness, because, you know, what is actual happiness?
Well, I just sort of came into the house and I was like, did you hear about this World Happiness Day thing? And it actually led to a show that we haven't actually released yet, but we will.
We only kind of half done, but we were kind of thinking is like a lot of people seem to equate happiness with like conformity
and
that
things.
We notice. Yeah.
Stuff.
And you see it all the time. It's like... We were laughing at because there was, I remember years ago, I used to work in this place and there was two guys and one of them was a kind of different get up every night, sleeping around sort of guy.
Yeah.
And then the other guy was divorced
them.
And bitter, really bitter.
I just liked both of them.
Oh yeah. And they were like giving me relationship advice. Yeah. And I was like, you two, man, honestly, they were saying, nah, you shouldn't be spending so much time inside, you know, you should be going out and all this kind of thing. And I'm like, you're giving me relationship advice. It reminded me of that episode of Friends.
Two divorces and Joey.
Yeah.
Don't take advice from people like that. If you're going to take advice from someone, just look at your source. Just look at what their current situation is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody has an agenda. I'm just saying everybody has their stuff that affects that everybody's bias in some way.
Yeah, exactly, because of something that's happened to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that got us thinking about happiness and what happiness actually is. And I don't know if this is too deep for this kind of thing.
I think
but
it's not deep enough I think for we're six just, in the morning.
It's 6 a.m. for us, by the way. For anybody that doesn't know, we are in Scotland. 6 o'clock in the morning. We are feeling good. It's early, but it's good.
Do you know what this always reminds us of? There was in Saturday Night Live later on, there was a skit, and it's not the one, it's not that, and we're back. It's not that one. It's later on, there was a skit, and it was like a recurring one. It was like Tad and Killam, I think,
and Bobby Moynihan. Yeah.
And the idea was that they were doing a hip hop show at 5 a.m. in some rural place, and they were like two white guys. And
yeah,
like
doing this like hip hop show, and they were really upbeat and stuff.
Like, well, it's
but
five
it's like,
in the morning.
It is early. And it's just, it's really, really
They're
funny.
Supposed to have like a big cupboard of 53 grand because nobody ever calls in. For their
but that's, no, that's like, so it's really early for us. And that's something that Dan and I do, like if we're doing this show, it's really, really early.
But it's okay, because if we had a competition, Nathan would phone in.
Yeah, he would phone in and he'd win all the money. So, you know, that's probably why we don't do competitions.
Yeah.
Well, we also don't have any money. We don't have any money.
Yeah. So on that note, you can donate, by the way, to anybody. Freedom Fiends, Greening Out Podcast.
Katie's trying to become more comfortable with asking people
I'm
to
really
donate to things. She's so bad at
it. I'm uncomfortable with the like donation thing, like going, yeah, you can donate. And Dan keeps going, you know what? It's okay. You can like
she keeps
be cool with it and stay with it. I just, I don't know. I'm pretty weird about it. I seldom do it on the show.
The government does it, and then they point a gun to your head, so at least you're nicer than them.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I don't just take your money and then go, don't worry, it's for a really, really good cause. I'm putting this all to good work. Trust me.
Trust me.
It's rubbish. But
no, you're always apologizing. You're like, well, I mean, you can donate, but you don't have to. But you don't need to. But,
yeah.
Jim
Jesus used to be in the Green Party here in America.
Oh, really? Wow, really?
But he's better now.
Oh, my.
He's all better now.
It's okay. He's come through the other side. It's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, they are scary.
Admitting he had a problem was the first step to his recovery.
It's the first step. It's okay. If any of you out there are, it's okay. You can come out of this. We are here for you.
See, the really dangerous thing, though, that I noticed, because see, when you go onto the Green Party of England's website, mm-hmm. when you go on, it says free care for over 65s, £10 an hour minimum wage.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and see, if you don't know anything about economics, you probably assume that they do. So yeah. You think, well, they must know. They don't. They know nothing economics, clearly. Yeah. But like, they'll think, that looks good. And they must know because, you know, they wouldn't be a party and stuff if they didn't know. That's what some people think.
This is the thing about making economics so complicated to understand. But people go, oh, well, they're the government. They are political people. They must know. Yeah. And surely they would never do anything to harm us. So if they're saying that they can provide all this, the money must be there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When
but
in fact, if it was available now, and people can go on about, oh, well, you know, people aren't paying enough of their taxes. That's a big thing here. Tax evasion is like the worst thing you can do.
But that's what got the Green Party, because they were going on about how paying taxes is moral and stuff. And Vivienne Westwood, the fashion designer, was a massive supporter of theirs. And then all of a sudden, all these stories came out in the Telegraph newspaper about Vivienne Westwood avoiding tax using offshore tax bases and stuff.
Because in the United
Kingdom, brilliant, I loved it.
In the United Kingdom, if you earn over £40,000, £40,000, I don't know. I think it's about $65,000 American dollars, roundabout, with the current exchange rate, roughly. You pay 40% tax.
Wow. Didn't Vivienne Westwood help start the Sex Pistols somehow?
I don't know.
I think that's some kind of story in that.
Can
I
just say
it's
kind of... Is that a purring?
Yes, it's my kitty.
Kitty! Oh. I just sound like a pigeon when I do it. Vivienne Westwood charges like £400 or $500 for a bag. Yeah. And I'm just like, are you a fan of the Green Party, Vivienne? Do you know how many
what's her tax
going to
be like
stuff?
There? You know?
What?
She'll probably go, yeah, support the Green Party, and then when they get into power, go away somewhere when she realises they'll take all her money from her.
Out of business. They also want Michael to write every shop or every good that enters the United Kingdom would have to meet United Kingdom regulations, like health and safety and stuff.
Yeah, and it would have to pay a living wage in whatever factory. So that's like basically every. Good.
There's a
everything that comes from China, like, and things like that that's sold in high street shops.
We have a shop here called Primark, which is like an infamous British discount store where you can get a t-shirt for £1.50 or like $2, and I just think some of these people, I actually know people who support like the Green Party who like to shop there. And I think to myself, do you not realize that the moment if you actually got these people into power,
none of this would be available.
The market would close up horribly.
Yeah,
I'm not making that up.
I'm not saying bad working conditions abroad is a good thing.
Oh, no, but Dan, you know what I'm saying.
I'm saying under those plans, no goods are actually going to get into the country.
A United Kingdom living wage, as far as I understand it, from what I've read, is £26,000 a year.
Yeah.
I don't make anywhere near that.
Not everyone in the marketplace
is worth
that either. And I
have a skilled job.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the problem. It's just, it's like, I find it funny how they are a political party and people take them seriously, and it seems like nobody's read a book on economics.
Yeah, and people might go, well, economics isn't people. And I feel like going, that's what markets are.
Markets
are people. And if people want something, if people want certain things and they're not available, readily available, they will find a way to get it.
That's all governments do. That's all governments do is get in the way of an A to B conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, they should see their way out of it.
Voluntary exchange.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if the Green Party had their way, within two generations, everybody would be living. There'd be no electricity and everyone would be starving. I really do.
I think so. It just seems like it would be, oh, it would be hell. And what's funny to me is they talk about, you know, being moral and stuff and how it's moral to pay taxes. But then how can you say it's moral to, then you're just basically saying it's moral to steal. So their morals are all messed up.
Whenever you see rich people advocating paying taxes and how great it is, I always wonder if like those people, and that happens here, like, there's a few billionaires here who are very in favor of it, but billionaires don't really pay taxes because they have everything structured in tax shelters, so they don't have to pay much. But I also wonder if sometimes those people got caught not paying taxes, and part of the deal they cut with the government is that they go on TV and say paying taxes is great.
I actually have my own theory about that. And my theory is it's a guilt thing. My theory is I've come across a few people in my life that were born into, say, a privileged sort of family, and they're very, very socialist. I call them champagne socialists. And basically they're fiercely, fiercely defensive of the current system. And they're saying there's not enough redistribution of wealth because of the 1%. And I think it's an absolute thing about guilt. And they
they feel guilty for having that money.
They feel guilty for this privilege that they think that they have. And
there's
they
the
think
music.
Taxation's the way.
So we're going to go sell some things in the free market.
Awesome.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm Dan Green.
I'm Katie Green.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
And we're talking with Michael W. Dean.
And he is sick.
You think?
Carry on.
Oh, Michael, have you not seen the cough button on Fiendphone?
Cough button. Did you not invent the cough button, Michael?
Yeah, but I made it for the little people. It's not for me. I don't have to use it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
It's only us that have to use it.
It's only us. It's okay.
I die of in 10 days from whatever I have, my tombstone's going to say, here lies the guy who made the cough button on Fiendphone. That's my greatest achievement.
Yeah. And then we're going to have like a little plaque of it on there.
Stop envisioning his
morbid
tombstone.
And people say, why does his tombstone look like some guy servicing the Invisible Man? I don't get it.
Yeah, for anybody that hasn't seen the cough button, it's pretty funny. You should look it up right now on Freedom Fiends. Yeah,
on fiendphone.com. Yeah, all right, so go on.
Yes.
Go on with your explanations. Okay, so, now, here's what Barker says. Davy Barker says that economics is like chess. The rules are really easy, but the game can be complicated.
Mm. I like that. It's a pretty good analogy of it, I would say.
I think that is true. I mean,
speak up, Dan. Pretend you're on radio, son.
Okay, I'll get on.
Go on, Dan. Go on.
No, all you need to do really is read Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt, and it's as true then as it is now. You know, and economics isn't as difficult. It doesn't have to be as complicated as they would have you think. But that's why they have these things like, what's it called? Greenspeak. Is it not Alan Greenspan who used to be the whatever of the Federal Reserve?
Simplification.
No, the king. Non-simplification.
Sorry, the non-simplification of
he used
the,
to just, because people would ask him questions and he would just make up words and things and, you know, it would just sound like complete and utter jargon and nonsense.
But see, if you do that, some people are intimidated by that. They hear big words and they go, oh, you must know far more than I do.
And they don't want to say, I don't understand, because then they'll think, oh, he'll think I'm stupid and I shouldn't be on this committee, so I'm not going to challenge him. And that's how you get away with it.
Yeah, one of the things I do in my life, and I make a conscious effort to do it, if I don't understand something, I make that abundantly clear to the point where
really
I think my boss gets kind of annoyed sometimes, because sometimes I'll go, okay, I need you to spell this out to me because
talk
I don't
to
understand.
Me like I'm five.
Talk to me like I'm an
or
alien.
Like I do like an alien, I was just going to say. Yeah.
But no, I was talking a little bit before we went to the free market there about my ideas about taxation and champagne socialists and why there are some people that subscribe to these ideas of heavy taxation. Especially in the UK, we do have quite a few people like that. And I've noticed that people that come from privileged backgrounds that are a fan of taxation, there's a certain amount of guilt that is probably associated with that. And I believe that that adds to the idea that by paying your taxes properly, as you should, says the government, then that's good. And that's how you do your bit for the people that are less privileged than you are.
I also think as well that it's almost like they want to give to the poor, but they don't want to have to deal with the poor or actually have
themselves
to do anything. Yeah, it's a whole lot easier for them if the government just takes money out and then they can pretend to themselves that it's going to help the poor. It's going like to, they can pretend that it's all going to the National Health Service,
but
and some of it is, but like a lot of it's also going to kill people in other countries.
The budgets keep getting cut for like good things, I would say, like you know, healthcare and, you know, I know it's state-funded education, or state-given education, but at least it is education. And I do believe while we have these services, that they should be used for the most part for good. But we do have a lot of money going other, you know, over for things like war and for aid in other countries.
Who's this? You got a mouse in your pocket?
We.
You're collectivist, you.
Oh, no. Sorry. They. It's all them.
There was a point, I don't know, I think they've scaled it back now, but there was a point when the British government were given a whole lot of money in foreign aid to India, and India had a space program
at
the same time.
Yeah.
And people were saying, does this not seem a bit odd that we're giving them all this money in aid and they're spending money on a space program?
Going to space?
I'm not saying we shouldn't help people, but I don't think we have to rely on the government to do it. I think, you know, charities can do it much better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't trust the government to spend my money efficiently.
But in this country especially, like, I don't know what the tax situation is in the US. I'm not that well versed, but I know here we pay a basic 20%.
It's complicated.
So, yeah. Of course it is. And
they like it that way.
They make it that way. So you just go, okay, I'll pay it instead of having to, like...
Well, we had the poll tax here.
Oh, we did, yeah.
We had a thing called the poll tax here, and this is what led to the rise of socialism in Scotland. We'll talk about
music.
It later.
I hear music, too.
There was a...
I hear drums in my head.
Well, hear
glad
music.
I'm not the only one.
Yes.
Oh no.
it's too early for this kind of psychosis.
So we'll be back.
We're gonna talk more.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
Welcome back. I'm Katie Green. I'm here with Dan Green and Michael W. Dean, and that all rhymed, and I did not mean it to. Michael is sick, for anybody that can't get that from what's happening. Are you okay, Michael? Are you alive?
Yep. Yeah, so
are
basically
you being held hostage?
Yeah. No, basically there's like 2 quarts of vapor liquid in my lungs, which is starting to come out now that I've quit vaping for 3 days.
Yeah. Sure.
The healing has begun, but it's a tough process. So I'm just going to sit here and board up, y'all. Go ahead.
Sure thing. So, Dan, you were talking about
poll tax.
Poll cats. Oh, you one... poll cats.
Poll cats?
No, this is why, because Katie and I one time decided to do a show because we thought we're going to figure out sort of why we think some of the reasons that Scotland is so socialist.
By nature, yes.
We went back to like Margaret Thatcher. She introduced a poll tax. There was a tax on, I'm not going to get into what the tax was all about because it would just bore everyone, but basically it was a more flat tax that she wanted to put in. This was seen as unfair by a lot of people because a lot of people ended up having to pay more, and it was introduced in Scotland first as a trial before it was introduced in England, and then that was seen as even more unfair.
Yeah.
So you had all these riots and things because people went bonkers over it, and then eventually that's brought Margaret Thatcher down in the early 90s, basically.
I thought a poll tax was having to pay to vote.
No, it was actually, poll tax wasn't what it was actually, that was the name given to it. It was actually called the community charge by the government.
That sounds better.
Sounds beautiful.
But Murray Rothbard wrote a great article about it because he thought she missed the point, because he said the point of a flat tax would be, let's say, everyone has to pay, regardless of income, has to pay the exact same tax, right? Say it's 500. At the time, I think he said something like 500. Say it's like $500. Yeah. That's too much for everyone. Say it's $10. Everyone could pay that. And according to Murray Rothbard, that would be enough to fund a small government.
Yeah.
So for him, that was the point of a tax like that. And he thought Margaret Thatcher, the way she did it, she completely missed the point.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, there's a big thing in the UK about fairness and
speak
what
up,
you're
Missy.
Owed and
speak
stuff
up, Missy.
Like that. Oh, I'm on the radio. Okay. Well, there's a big thing in Scotland. There's sort of quite an anti-English thing, I think, that, as Dan said, I think a lot of that was sparked up by things like the poll tax that was introduced. Like the Scottish people were guinea pigs for this kind of unfair tax system. Hey,
you were a baby, you weren't paying, and you weren't even in this country,
anything.
You were in Canada that time.
I don't care. But no, I'm just saying, like, I think that's why a lot of Scottish people, that generation then had children who went on to sort of think that way about the English Margaret Thatcher and this unfair tax. And
but during that, a lot of, you could say notable, if you want to use this word, or infamous is probably a better word, Scottish socialists got their start at that time. You know, the guy who went on to lead the Scottish Socialist Party and who was in the Parliament for a while in those scary days when there was 4 members of the Scottish Parliament who were all part of the Socialist Party.
Yep.
Tommy Sheridan, he got his rise. That's how people got notoriety through the poll tax.
I don't think anybody listening to this
like that
will know who that is. But
there is a good point about this whole poll tax thing, and it is they had to abandon it, and it shows that, see, if people just refused to pay it, and it shows
it
that
work,
if people peacefully it did devolve into rioting in some places, like in London, but it shows if people just en masse refuse, then there's nothing that the government can do about it.
Peaceful non-compliance sort of thing when it comes to, when it comes to paying things like that. I've known people who have done it. We have a thing called council tax. And Dan, I think you spoke about this on a
mentioned it to
show.
Derek Jane. He was horrified to hear that.
We have to
pay
for
pay.
on top of it. Like, I've done the calculation. It's a good few hundred quid a month that we're, a few hundred pounds a month that we're out, you know, for this, all this taxation. And it just seems, I don't know.
The council tax is ridiculous. That's just basically
water.
We get 2 different taxes taken out of like our wages by the bank, you know, before we even get them.
I don't
want to complain
too much.
And then we have to pay out of our own pockets a council tax to the local city for, you know, water and rubbish collection and all this kind of stuff.
The wonderful conditions that they keep our streets in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the roads are a mess out there, you know, but we have to pay them and we don't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't want to complain too much. Like, I'm lucky I've got a job, I know that, but sometimes it is frustrating when you know that there is money being you know, taken from you, and you're not seeing any sort of...
And do you know what happens if you stop paying it? Kind of literally, report. I know someone this happened to. If you don't pay it and they resist, arrest. Eventually, yeah, what they do is they get a court order against you and they arrest your wages.
Yeah,
so
it's happened to a lot of people that I know.
So they take a portion of your wage every month, depending on how much employer, you earn by force.
And you don't have a choice. Like, you get sent a court order.
And so you can't even resist it. They will get a court order and just arrest your wages. Yeah. I literally know people that has happened to.
So that's one of the ones you can't get away with not paying.
Oh, is it 1984 yet?
Yes. But I don't want to complain too much about taxes. I mean, I just think, you know, especially in Glasgow, the war on drugs and the war on whatever.
Are you talking about the war on drugs?
I'm saying in Glasgow, we were talking about this recently. I think that sort of failed a lot of people.
I forgot to say, in Scotland especially. I forgot to say why it's called Glasgow. If you go there...
You want to share your theory?
Yeah, if you go to Glasgow, if you go there, you'll get glassed. Now, what does getting glassed mean?
Glass is a verb, and if you get glassed, it means somebody smashes a glass over your head. You know, Michael, you should pitch that to Visit Scotland. I'm sure they would love that.
the new slogan.
Municipal motto, yeah. Mm-hmm. Glasgow, if you go there, you'll get glassed, with a big smiling soccer hooligan on the sign.
Yeah, I'm sure the people will love that. I can't see anyone getting offended by it.
I would go for that.
Yeah, that's what I would go for.
They've had some terrible slogans here. One time was Glasgow, Scotland with style. That was one.
I hated that one, Scotland with style.
That's
saying
really
the rest
of Scotland has no style.
It's not to say that it's not true, but there's no need to remind. I'm only kidding.
We are stylish people.
Glasgow, we have running water since 1998. Yeah.
But no, it's like Glasgow especially, I just I get frustrated. That's a good word. I get frustrated when I see that there's a lot, we have a high level of tax, and it is, you know, this whole system and the prohibition and the National Health Service and the things that are sort of put on people and the war on drugs.
It's
failed a lot
things.
Of people.
You're just naming everything that's failed.
I'm naming things that are not good. No.
This is a list of everything. No, I know what you mean. It's a list of
I'm just saying, I'm not just complaining about taxes. I actually do care about the people of the city, and I think that we could do a lot more for them. And they could do a lot more for themselves, obviously.
And I hate these people. I know some of these people, and they're disingenuous, because I was involved in a political party when I was a teenager, and I was idealistic, and I met a lot of these people. And fair enough, there was a few of them who genuinely were involved in politics because they cared, but there were some of them that were weird and slimy.
Weird and slimy? Were they literally slimy people?
Literally slimy.
Actually,
David Icke is right. They were reptiles. Okay. No, I'm just joking. They weren't. No, they were just kind of weird guys.
Well, I don't think we should just throw around the word weird, because you're weird.
I know, but they were weird in a kind of, I don't want to say sociopathic, because I don't know if that's taking it too far.
No,
but
I think that is taking it too far. I know the people you're talking about, and I think they're just disillusioned people. I think they're more confused. I just don't think that they quite get it.
Yeah, that they don't understand, but how can they keep making these same mistakes?
Dan, we're not going to go around talking about if you go into the city centre of Glasgow, you'll find on one particular street, the Communist Party has a tent Socialists have a tent, and you get all your kind of people, and it's all extreme left-wing stalls you have in Glasgow, and these are the kind of people that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be doing much. They seem to want to sell badges and t-shirts and wax lyrical about how we should have higher wages for more people, but I'm not even going to get into the whole thing about how...
Should I tell a story about a Socialist Workers' Party meeting?
I just want to say...
And alcohol?
Yeah, you could actually. I just want to say that...
I don't know if I should.
Things that happen when people start demanding too much money for their jobs is like automated system and robots and stuff like that. Like, I'm just saying, like in my job, for example, if they all of a sudden wanted to raise the minimum wage up to like, you know, £12 an hour, I'd probably be out of a job.
I think that
pill dispensing,
pill dispensing and Big Macs are about two of the easiest things you could do with a robot.
Exactly. It's quite an automated thing I do.
My job won't be a thing either. There won't be postmen, because as soon as 3D printing takes off, and even Amazon are trying to apparently invent drones to deliver packages. Yeah, there'll be no such thing as a postman in 20 years. It just won't be a thing.
No, the thing is, though, there still will be, because government.
Because gov. I know. But hey, you know can, what? In a free market.
Can one of you guys come on? Can one of you guys come on this show two nights from now? I know it's a lot of shows in 1 week, but.
Two nights? What day is that?
It's like 48 hours, 46 hours.
I know.
From
I'm
now.
Trying to figure that out.
It's think fun you it. Ask us on air.
I cannot because I think I
might be able to.
Dan can do it. Cool. Be because what I'm going to do is the last show of this week, last live show, I'm going to set you guys up and then I'm not going to be on it. I'm just going to be board hopping. It's really cool. Like listening to you guys do the show. Like I haven't talked for like 10 minutes and it's kind of like, this is kind of my dream is like a radio show where I don't have to talk, but I can interrupt anytime I want and I could just like knock you guys off air. Like I am the central scrutinizer of this radio show, but I'm not having to be on it. And Thursday, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I think that'll be, it'll be you. It'll be Dan, Davi and young Nick, the yak farmer. And I'll be able to, you know, if you guys get in trouble, I'll jump on and I'll be listening to the whole show and monitoring it. But yeah, I'm going to replace myself with automation. That's the plan.
Ooh.
Since I'm making far less than minimum wage.
when is Fiendfunk getting the Michael Dean button that only you have and it's like your face and you press it and then that's when you get to jump in?
You think my version of it doesn't have that?
Oh, does it? Oh, okay. I'm behind the times. I didn't know.
Do you know what you should do though, Michael? You should get it like a red phone and you should just have it like an old style red phone. You could just lift it up.
Hello? Yeah. You're doing it wrong.
The button on my version though is it's not my face, it's a drone.
Ooh. Yeah. It's really funny because like sometimes like if you email one of us do you watch The American Office, Michael?
I've seen it. I don't really love it.
Right, well there's like a funny thing where one of the guys, Dwight, he always calls their boss and he always yells for him and he goes, Michael! And sometimes like when an email comes through, that's like what Dan says. He just yells, Michael! And I know it's you.
Michael!
I hear music.
Oh, we're all hearing that again. It's mass delusion.
I'm glad that we're
continue.
All hearing it.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's too early.
Too early. I noticed.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends. My name is Dan Green. I am here with the lovely Katie Green and Michael W. Dean, who is incredibly sick right now.
He's
are you there,
not
Michael?
Well.
Yeah, I'm just here to like shut you guys off if I get sick of it. That's my
sure
only role.
Thing.
You guys
sure
talk.
Thing.
I'm in control. Well, it's my problem.
If things get too weird.
If it gets too weird, no, Michael has the too weird button.
If it's not weird enough, I'll cut you off. All right, so
okay.
Go ahead, bring us on home with some redemption in the third act.
Well, we did complain a lot about taxes, but yeah, there was like I said, there was a good point to that whole poll tax thing, because it did show that, like, you can peacefully not comply. And
yes,
you know what I mean? So, like, there is always these wee good points. I just wish that people would remember that kind of spirit now,
yeah,
and do that with all tax, you know, because we should be allowed to individually secede. You know, this whole thing about Scottish secession from the UK, we should be all allowed to just individually secede from the local council. Yeah, I'll deal with my rubbish.
you should be allowed to say, look, I'll make my money, I'll decide what I do with it, I'll decide what places I'm going to give it to. If I want to give it to people who are less privileged than me, of course. If I want to give it to I don't know, Dan. Yes. Well, I'm certainly not. I don't want to fund wars and things, which is, I have no control over where that money goes.
Do you know what my prediction is? And it is optimistic in the end, but it's not at the start.
Sure.
But we'll get there. You know what I mean? Because this is redemption in the third act, so we'll get there.
Okay.
Right. I think eventually this will happen. Scotland will get continually progressively more socialist, as it has been, because, you know, the SNP is a centre-left party.
It's coming.
But, you know, you've the Socialist Party, the Green Party, their membership's gone up since the Yes referendum, the independence referendum. Yeah. They were all on the Yes side. I think what will happen is Scottish socialism will eventually, it will become more and more and more into our lives, and it will be really bad for a while. And then they'll realise that this can't work, and it will completely collapse. And at the point where it collapses, something will have to replace it. And libertarianism is growing, and it's growing within the UK as well.
Well, I've
started to see it a lot more, especially online now. You know, there's a lot of younger people getting into libertarianism. We've had some of them on our show. Well, far we've had more, one of them.
Yeah. there are far more. Even since we started our podcast a year ago, there's so much more people that have come to us now saying, oh, you guys are in Scotland, you know, I'm here and I have these thoughts too, and we're connecting with these people. So it's pretty amazing. So it is spreading slowly but surely over here.
And that'll be in the background while socialism begins to fail. Yeah. I hope that's in the background.
And the BBC, even, the British Broadcasting Company recently, from what we've read...
I think everyone knows who the BBC is.
Yes, I like, I know, I just thought that anyway. I'd like to give that background. The BBC approached the UK Libertarian Party and asked somebody to come on the show, and they actually declined.
Yeah.
I don't know what people
speak
think
up,
about
Katie.
That.
Speak up, Katie. Pretend you're on radio.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Ho, ho. Okay. Right. Here we go. Start again. The BBC recently went to the United Kingdom Libertarian Party spokesperson and said, would you consider coming on to our program to talk about libertarianism?
A very popular politics show.
Yes, it's an incredibly popular politics show, and the Libertarian Party of the United Kingdom declined. Now, I don't know. People might say this was a bit of a setup. They didn't want to be made fun of. Maybe they're a bit paranoid about that. I don't know. I think it would have been good to get a bit of coverage. But again, I think libertarianism, like a libertarian party, is like herding cats. You can't do it.
But then what is good is, you know, because we don't support any party.
No, none.
No, not one at all. And but what is good as well is you do have like groups like the Libertarian Alliance. And there is a lot of views within the Libertarian Alliance in the UK that I don't agree with.
Oh, yeah.
But like, for example, their director, Sean Gadd, was on the Tom Wood Show, I believe, recently talking about Thatcher and stuff. So like, it just shows that there's kind of more. And even with us, like, we interview a lot of Americans and stuff. So it's even more transatlantic now as well. You know, and I definitely see, like, especially online, a growth of younger people getting interested. And socialism, it will happen and it will fail, you know.
It has failed. It's failed before. As I've said, and you've said, Dan, it's a really nice idea. Mm. It sounds wonderful on paper.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It'll fail, and liberty will be in the background.
Liberty is there in the background, like a, what was it you said, a scented candle?
I said that once. It'll be like a sheep lurking behind a tarpaulin.
Is that what you are?
That's what liberty will be.
A sheep lurking behind a tarpaulin.
Yes. I had
the
to mention
thing
sheep
you've
at one.
Said to me.
I had to say sheep at some point.
9 years. You weirdo.
It's been a wonderful show. Michael, are you still alive?
I love this. Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Wormage, yes. Yes.
It's good to hear you're still there. But we're worried.
Thank you for being with us through your lurgy, Michael.
Yeah, man. Thank you for your service.
Worms. Thank you, sir.
Dan will be on two nights from now, too.
I will be.
Worms.
Exciting. Worms.
So we can document the whole process here.
Dan, could you go get me my breakfast, please?
Right.
Quickly.
Transferred
to GCN Studio 1. This is Michael Dean. Who's this?
Michael, it's Kyle. You're
on the phone
for a second.
Okay. Trippy.
I like it.
I know. Better than what they usually have for hold music.
That little fork was like the only thing that was there for it.
What? Oh, great.
Is it good? Save me some.
I'm getting four massive brownies right now.
I'll probably put this at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm.
Finish up the last show before I can talk to you.
Okay, cool. So they're done? They're off the table?
I will be in a moment. But yeah, what's up?
I'm recording you. This is for, I'm documenting this historic moment.
Oh, well, lovely.
It's the Libertarian Central Scrutinizer. It's the Libertarian NSA. So,
Did you, get rid of that rash?
Rash?
Yeah, rash you were complaining about?
It wasn't a rash. It's what, my lung problems?
No, you were saying it was being recorded for history, so I made something up.
Ah, okay.
It's funny.
Yeah, the test result, the herpes is it's mega herpes, and it's I'm trying to be funny. I'm too sick to be funny. It's military grade weaponized herpes. That's what the doctor said I had. So, all right.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing something new tonight. Did Kyle? Did George hip you to this? We're doing Fiend Phone.
Mention that your Fiend Phone worked. I will go patch it in a moment, and you can talk to me on it.
All right. I'll keep you on the phone. Ooh, this is going to be cool. Now we can listen to this. It sounds like BBC science show music.
From the 70s?
Yeah.
This is the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
GCN. How come all radio announcements sound really important?
I know.
Is it like that there in Scotland?
A lot of them do, yeah.
Very, very non-regional.
There's a semi, decent channel called XFM that's it's all right.
It is better.
Yeah, they're a bit goofy and stuff, but it's as good as you're going to get.
We have a station here called Capital.
Oh, okay, we're talking over it. Die. Can you hear us? Yeah, can we hear you? You're talking? I don't hear you.
What, me?
No, I'm talking to the board up.
Oh, sure.
Can you hear my guests? Do you hear a woman?
I can hear the
guests. Okay. Why can't I hear you? That's interesting. Because I...
Let me double check my end, but you can work on yours.
Okay. Hello. Hello.
It's really good. Yeah. Have some. I'm allowed to have cake for breakfast because I'm a grown up. I'll do whatever I want to do. That's the basis of my libertarianism. Well, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do.
Leave me alone. Eat cake at 4 and 5 in the morning.
For breakfast. It's 5 in the morning. I have to go to work today, Dan.
Well, you knew the risks.
You knew what this was.
You're only working a half day as well, so stop whinging.
I know.
You there, Kyle?
Well, I didn't wire it, but as long as it was wired correctly, and I heard there was... You guys did a test before, right?
Yeah, I did a test with Dan today with another guest host on my end, and we could hear him and he could hear us.
Okay, well then...
I'm using the same settings.
Should be set up correctly here.
Try to send me some music. Yeah, I'm not hearing it. Keep sending it to me. Let me try different settings on the audio out. Let's see. Nope, I tried all three and it didn't change it. That's weird. Hmm. I think it must be something on your end because we did exactly these settings on my end and the Fiendphone server today and it worked exactly right.
Well, I can look at it again. Hold on.
I have the notes that George sent me about what the settings should be on your end if you want me to read them to you. Are you there? Hey, Kyle? Kyle. Kyle. We're on in 3 minutes. Well, if we can't hear the feed, we can go ahead and do a show anyway, because we can do it by time. But you'll probably be talking over the singing, but that'll be okay.
I'm going to have two of us look at it. He said he got audio from us.
Okay, he said the top theme patch is out, the bottom is in. Auxiliary from board patch. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's what you got?
Yep. Look right to you? Well, two of us have looked at it, and if this is all, you know, if the infrastructure is correct, which I assume it is.
So you're sending me the feed right now, huh?
I'm sending you the feed and myself.
Okay. Let me try a few different settings.
And I got audio from me, like I said, just, it looks like the return should be going out. Got two of us looking at it.
Okay, I'm trying all the different settings on Fiendphone on the one that's there, and it's not, I'm not hearing, yeah, I'm back to the same, I guess we're going to have to do it without us hearing the feed. I can do it by time, but, boy, that'll be hard.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting you. I don't know. I've been doing that on this channel all day. We can give it a shot, or, I mean, if you want to use your access, and then we can play with this at the next break or whatever.
Nah, let's go ahead and try this and then play with this at the next break. We still got a minute if there's anything else you can change on your board to try to send me the sound. Because it was working today. And it was.
I'm looking at it for, like, the 10th time just to make sure I didn't miss something.
Is Dan there?
No.
I'm here.
Not you, Dan.
Oh, different. Oh, sorry.
Funny. No, but I would like to make sure this level's enough. So
okay. This is me talking. How's my audio coming to you? Is it too loud, too quiet? Is it just right?
It's a little low.
It's a little low. How's that? Is that a little louder? Is that a little better? It's not quite enough. How about now? Is that better?
Hey, that's great.
Okay. Go ahead, Dan and Katie.
Okay, yeah, we'll just start talking.
Do you want us just to talk over one another?
Like
or?
This, yeah, we can just start what we got.
Okay, here we go. All right, we're on.
Are we on break?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm watching the clock.
It's eerie.
Hey, Kyle, are
it's
you
eerie
there?
Without the music.
Are you there, Kyle?
Hmm.
I'm going to try something here. Give me a minute.
Sure.
I got to disconnect something. All right, I'm back. Can you hear me? Dan, can you hear me? Dan, do you hear me? Hey, hang on a sec. I think I lost Dan. Hey, Dan, do you hear me? Okay, you guys hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
I have a mouthful.
Okay. Okay, I'm on an atomic clock, and we're up, and we're back.
And we're back.
This is the Freedom Fiends. And I'm supposed to wait 10 seconds before I talk, but I'm going to talk anyway. Because it's the Freedom Fiends. How you kidding?
It's all about freedom.
I'm such an anarchist, did you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You're not listening to the rules.
You anarchist, you.
I don't obey the rules, man. I don't like the rules.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys want to talk about Scotland and gun laws and stuff and how they're taking away your freedoms and how you foreigners are trying to come take American radio jobs?
But the difference is that, like, there's a lot of people in America who have, like, Scottish, like, sort of family and things like that, so we can connect on that level.
Yeah. A lot of people have that. but, have the ancestry.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about this gun law thing was this thing. So they're planning on licensing air guns in Scotland, but the bill has also got a different part to it, and it's a separate licensing regime for sexual entertainment venues.
How does that end up in the same bill? I don't understand.
Because they're trying to basically say, in Scotland, guns are a much bigger deal than anything else. If you float the idea, like if you say to somebody, would you rather your child, you know, had a gun or went to like a strip club?
Or was a stripper.
Oh my God.
They'd rather have their child be a stripper.
Than like own a gun. So this is, I think, the way of easing the Scottish people into this whole thing, because they're going, well, I guess, you know, they're doing that thing about the sexual entertainment, but
it just
at
looks
least
to me,
they're doing this about guns.
It just looks to me like a way to sneak something else in. Like, so they want more licensing because that's like more money in that for them. So what they do is they say, look at this, it's all about air guns, and then they just sneak this other bit in the back door.
Yeah.
And but it's all packaged up, the whole thing, like
for
as
our
a
benefit.
As a greater good thing, you know, as a we're doing this for you.
There's a lot of initiatives like that in Scotland. I don't disagree. Some places definitely need a bit more money behind them, but you know, it's not for me to say what places need what. But there's so many harm reduction initiatives and stuff, and it's just, you know, it's actually unbelievable when you see the amount of these government initiatives that they actually have.
Do you feel safer?
No, I feel annoyed.
Annoyed.
Yeah, I just get annoyed by it.
I want a new planet. And
yeah, that's the thing. This bill will just pass through and nobody will care. that's how they'll keep doing it, and then they'll keep passing things through that are just seem small and nobody will care.
But they do add up.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we're like, are we
down
the lane?
But this is the thing, because prohibition just forces people into black markets. We've seen that time and time and time again.
Of course.
So I wonder, with this new life licensing laws for these entertainment places. I mean, they might have.
Yeah, there. And I think we've lost the satellite feed going to Scotland. Are you there, people? I think you disappeared. I think you fell off the earth. I think you fell off the face of the earth. Well, I'm going to take a little opportunity here to explain. We're both gone.
All right. Could lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you? Yeah.
I hear you.
Are we still?
I hear you.
Oh, we are still here. There was a little blip there, but we're moving on swiftly.
Go on.
Dan, do you agree that that prohibition might lead to...
Well, I wouldn't say this is full this isn't prohibition. This is licensing.
That's a form of prohibition. It's a step to prohibition, too.
Yeah.
I feel it's the first kind of thing, because in this country, I'm assuming at one point people could own guns quite freely, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there was, I think, I can't remember exactly when it was, but like, I know it was a long time ago that they did it with it.
And then at one point, I'm sure they introduced new licensing laws, which then I'm sure probably
got stricter and stricter and stricter until we have what we have now.
Yeah, basically.
It takes you ages to get a gun. It's even unclear. Like, I even looked up, and on the websites, that it's unclear exactly what you need to do. And
you have to join a club first.
And it goes to, it's like, I think you need to register with the police and things.
They have to, you basically invite the government and the police and people into your life and say, come, look around. Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to bring that into my house.
See, they would take this the wrong way if they looked into us and found out about
our website and stuff. They'd be like, yeah, sure, here you go. I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we would be told categorically no.
I think red flags would start going up all over the place.
Yes. But really? You know what? That's okay. Suffer from my art.
You think having a libertarian podcast would raise the hackles of your government there?
In the United Kingdom, yes.
I don't know. I think I might just be a little paranoid.
You know, really?
No. Me, paranoid? No, I always walk a different way home.
You've always been that way since like I met you. You've always been actually a naturally paranoid person. But
I'm not crazy.
Just want to say he's not insane.
thank you for making that clear that I'm not insane.
Well, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. And we are heading to a wonderful chance to purvey products and or services. Here we go.
Ooh.
Yep.
We're on break. Is it the free market? Is it the free market?
Yep.
It's working. It's working.
Okay. Cool. Kyle probably can't hear me. Hey, Kyle, we're going to disconnect and reconnect Fiendphone. Hang on. Let me type that to him. Okay, he heard me. He can hear me. All right. So first thing I want to do is disconnect the server. All right. When we come back, you're not going to need a password. I'm going to take that off for these tests. All right. So...
Anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature.
Okay,
expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique...
What'd you change? Anything?
I just rebooted it, man. I think that's the thing is, like, I have to start Fiendphone after you set it up, not before, on the GCN end.
Setting it up is me connecting analog cables.
Yep. So I think that has to be done before I turn it on.
Why would it care if there's an analog cable on this end connected?
Because there's a because computers are a mixture of science and voodoo.
We're back.
It's a little far on voodoo for me.
Hey, it fixed it. I knew it would. We have the feed now, people.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear American business products.
You heard Mike, whether things. Personal or business. Ooh. You can now buy, sell, and auction your products
Hey, Kyle.
Quickly, easily, and securely at bidbit.co.
Kyle. I'm dancing.